Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, folks. Sorry for the late start. This is Rabble Rousing, Rich Bergeron.
Oh, I got to do my cool outfits again. Yo, this is the icon, the number one guy in this business. This is your boy. It's the Tornado, Tony Penatale.
All right, and we apologize for the late start. We had an issue with the changeover from premium or from free to premium for Blog Talk Radio, but we do have Alvin Robinson scheduled for tonight, and we made sure that we got the show started here at 8:30, and we're about to call him right now. So give us a minute here. We're going to plug him into the system. And Alvin Robinson is 11-5. He's been in the UFC. He's fighting a UFC veteran, Cameron Dollar, on I believe it's February 25th, mentioned earlier. And he's got a pretty decent record against some real legends of the sport. So I'm sure he's going to be a good interview. And hopefully he'll give us some insight about the sport. I know we've kind of done MMA to death these last few weeks. Probably driving you crazy over here, Tony. But we will return to boxing next week. I promise.
I haven't heard it yet.
All right, here we go. Trying to get him on the phone now. Alvin.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going? This is Rabble Rousing, Rich Bergeron.
Hey, what's up, Richard?
How much? We also have Tony the Tornado on the line with us.
Yo, what's up? Hey, what's up, Tony? How's you doing? How you doing? Doing good, man.
All right. Well, you know you're coming up on a big fight with another UFC veteran, Cameron Dollar. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that whole matchup and how that got into play there?
We'll be fighting February 28th, March 25th, even February 25th, at Fight to Win Mortal Kombat here in Denver, Colorado. Cameron Dollar and I are both from Colorado. He's Colorado Springs. I'm the Denver area. And as of right now, we're two of the top 145ers here in Colorado. Both UFC vets, and Seth put this fight together to see who's number one here out of Colorado at 145.
All right. Now, I'm looking at your record here on Sherdog. Looks like you've been all around the world and back again here with a bunch of different leagues. What's your ultimate goal in this sport? What's your main motivation?
Of course, to be a world champion. To be undisputed world champion at 145 pounds. I definitely would like to hold the belt in two weight classes if I can do that, but I'm a spiritual guy, so for me it's to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ with fighting and whatever I do.
Mm-hmm. And how did you first get into fighting in the first place?
Honestly, I've wanted to fight my whole life, even before UFC was around, and then just growing up, I wanted to get in martial arts, but I had a single parent. My mom, she couldn't afford to put me in martial arts, and I got to high school, I started wrestling, and then after my first year of college in the summer, my mom called and said, hey, there's a jiu-jitsu school I found. They had moved to Colorado, and so I went down and checked it out. It was a Hoist Gracie jiu-jitsu school, and I started training under John Crouch, and I was hooked, man. I wanted to fight. I told him the first day, I was like, I want to fight in the UFC someday. And I started training, had my first fight about 8 months later, and I ended up receiving my black belt by Hoist Gracie under John Crouch.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Do you have a favorite style or submission or anything like that you like to use in fights?
I love jiu-jitsu, of course, and I've been training a lot of stand-up. I love boxing and Muay Thai as well. just whatever, you know, whatever gets the job done is the best technique.
Right. Now, I've noticed, and I talked about this a lot on the past shows, but I noticed that in the UFC, especially in some of the big circuits, but mostly in the UFC, I think, it seems like MMA in general and the style of fighting is going to more of a stand-up. You know, guys, like, they know that, seems like they know that by putting on more of a show, they'll get further up the chain, they'll get that big matchup they're looking for, and you know, they'll get the big money. Do you notice that in some of the smaller leagues, too, or at the UFC level when you watch it?
Yeah, I think that it just depends on the fighter, to be honest. But you have to be well-rounded for sure. I mean, if you're a wrestler, nowadays you can't go into a fight thinking, oh, I'm just going to take this guy down and beat him up or take him down and submit him. You have to be prepared. I mean, the strikers, the guys that started with striking, the best strikers in the world, those guys can stop the takedown now. And actually, even when they get taken down sometimes, they can work their way back up to their feet. So I think it just depends on the matchups. I mean, you look at guys like Rashad Evans, he's a world-class wrestler. He's definitely able to use his wrestling to win fights, and as well as GSP and Hasek. But even those guys have great stand-up. So, yeah, I agree with you.
All right. Is there anybody else out there that you try to emulate or like to watch a lot?
I definitely a Hoist Gracie fan. He's my favorite fighter. And then Vito Belfort, of course, is my other favorite fighter. And hopefully this weekend he can get the win over Anderson. But definitely if those are two of my favorite fighters, I like watching Alistair Overeem a lot too. I think he's freaking a beast. So... those are some of my favorites, some guys I like to watch a lot.
Yeah, actually, I watched some of the K-1 Grand Prix there with Overeem, and he really impressed me. You know, he's got some great stand-up, and, you know, if he's got enough of a well-rounded game, he's got a good shot at winning that Strikeforce tournament, I think. And Vitor...
I can't wait. I'll go ahead, sorry.
Vitor, of course, is another guy that's making waves lately. It shows you that the UFC doesn't have all the good guys. You know, they try to go out there and claim that they have the best of the best, but you know, especially in the heavyweight division, there's a lot of guys running around that could probably be the few of the best UFC guys.
Yeah, there's definitely, and after that tournament, you definitely have arguably the best heavyweight around, whoever wins that Strikeforce tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I'm picking Alistair as well to win that, but he's not going to have an easy task in winning that tournament.
Right. Making him underestimate Fedor coming back too after getting his first loss in forever. So it's interesting.
We'll see what happens if Fedor can mentally overcome that loss, or if it broke him, or who knows. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what he does in his fight against Antonio Silva, because Antonio's tough too.
Right.
Fighter.
He's a big dude.
He's a really big dude, and he can take a punch too.
Right. Now, is there anybody out there you particularly would like to fight if you had a chance to?
Of course, being competitive, I want to get to fight the champion when I work my way back in the UFC. Whoever the champion is at the time, I recently saw something that Kenny Florian, who has a win over me, is dropping down to 145 possibly. I would love to match up with him again and see how I do now that I have striking in my game.
Mm-hmm.
And that my jiu-jitsu and my wrestling have both improved. I'd like to see how I match up with him now.
Yeah, his game has changed a lot too, I noticed over the years. You know, like, he tried a bunch of different things. Some of it worked, some of it didn't. He went a lot more to the boxing side of things, and you know, he's had a rough go of it. It seems like the more you look at it, at MMA, and especially in the UFC, these younger guys are getting so much more well-rounded from the jump that, you know, some of the older, more established names in the league are just, they can't compete. You know, they're lost. And no matter what they try to do to change their game, they just can't catch up to these new kids coming up that just have it all. Do you notice that too in all the other leagues? And when you were in the UFC, did you see that happening?
yeah, definitely. I think Kenny, he's one of the more well-rounded fighters, but for whatever reason, he seems to struggle against the elite wrestlers. But even his losses are his last loss was to Gray Maynard. It was a really close fight, and Gray pretty much took him down and held him. And that says a lot, because if you watch that fight, I'm sure you guys did, with Frankie Edgar, Gray Maynard has some awesome stand-up, and he's definitely got power in his hands. But he didn't want to stand there with Kenny, so he kind of took him down and controlled him. So I honestly feel that you should have a base coming into the sport, something that you're a master at, and then you should add the other tools to it. So kind of like, let's say Gray Maynard, he's a wrestler, he's adding the striking now, and he definitely has a shot at being a UFC lightweight champ.
Right. Now, what would you consider your best moment in the sport?
What's that?
What would you consider your best moment in the sport so far?
When I beat George Rogel in the UFC, that was my only UFC win. But man, that was an awesome night. Was upwards of around 17,000, 18,000 people there, and it was just an amazing experience to win in the UFC.
And you mentioned that you're trying to work your way back there. What's the timeline you're looking at there? Is there any hopeful negotiations going on right now, or is it something that you're just, keeping in the back of your head?
Well, I had signed with Bellator Fighting Championships, and I was going to be the alternate in the tournament. And so I asked for my release, and they gave me my release. That's why I signed the fight against Cameron Dollar. I'm on a two-fight win streak right now. Hopefully, after I fight with Cameron Dollar, I pull out the win there. Then the UFC will be knocking on my door, hopefully. When I went into the UFC before and fought, I was young in the sport mentally, and I had no stand-up game. I just was in there mostly a jiu-jitsu fighter with some wrestling, and now I'm a complete fighter, and I feel like I definitely compete with some of the top guys in the world at 145 pounds, and I want to get back in there. So whatever fight I have to take to get to the UFC, and whoever I have to fight in the UFC to get the title, that's the path I'm going to take.
Right. Well, it seems like more and more lately, especially since the WEC merger, they seem to be really taking dismissal seriously. Like, you know, this guy doesn't fight like he's a bat out of hell. He gets thrown out, you know, whether he wins or loses sometimes. It just doesn't make sense in some of the cases that they've thrown people out. But at the same time, it also looks like they're trying to thin down the herd, because they've got all these new people coming in from the WEC, and now they have to have these lightweight and featherweight fights on the cards all the time. What do you think about that whole thing? Does that make it harder for you to get back in there, or is it something?
I think that if I was fighting at 155, definitely would be a longer road. But I mean, now that I'm a featherweight, I think there's still an opening there that I can work my way into the UFC. For example, right now, Jose Aldo, they're having trouble finding him an opponent. They got Mark Hominick, and I think that's going to be an awesome fight. Hominick's definitely a tough guy, but he was supposed to fight Grisby, and Grisby lost. They were kind of like, oh, shoot, what are we going to do? We don't have anybody to fight Aldo. He's kind of mowing the guys down. So I definitely think, me personally, fighting at 145, I can work my way in. But if you're a 55 or up right now, it's going to be tough to crack into the UFC. You're going to have to wait until they just kind of start filtering out some of the guys. And I actually think it's kind of good, because it'll make people like Strikeforce a little bit stronger. And you'll see some better matchups in Strikeforce. Some of the UFC guys that get cut, maybe go down and fight Gilbert Melendez and Eddie Alvarez and Jay-Z. There's still some good matches to be made once those guys get cut from the UFC. So hopefully they can get put together.
Right. All right. Well, what's the most important thing you do to get ready for a fight?
usually?
Of course, training. Just I'm always training anyway, but just staying on a strict schedule, kind of making sure I don't overtrain. That's my biggest thing is I love to be in the gym. I love to train. So usually if somebody's like, hey, Alvin, you want to train some jiu-jitsu and then wrestle, and somebody else calls me and asks me to do something else, I'm all for it. But when I get into a fight camp or a few weeks out from a fight, I got to kind of buckle down and not take as many training sessions. That's the main thing for me. And, of course, you know, the mental part of it, training my mind and my spirit, and just preparing for war.
All right, cool. Now, what do you know about this fight coming up and Cameron Style? And have you followed him since he's left the UFC himself? And what are you preparing for as far as his style?
Cameron is definitely a tough guy. He seems to be like a fearless guy and pretty well rounded. He has some knockouts. He has some submissions, and I've seen him fight a couple times after the UFC, and at least he had a couple submissions. So I just got to be ready for whatever he brings. If the fight's standing up, I got to be ready to slug it out on my feet. If we're in a wrestling match, I got to be ready to wrestle. And if it goes to the ground, my jiu-jitsu game's got to be top-notch. He's definitely a well-rounded fighter, as I am, and it's going to be an exciting fight.
Mm. And what do you think is your greatest strength as a fighter?
For sure, my jiu-jitsu. I'm a black belt under Hoist Gracie, and that's definitely my strongest point. But I definitely have been working on my stand-up like crazy since I started training at Grudge and working with Trevor Whitman and Farid Samad. And hopefully I can showcase my stand-up skills in this fight and possibly score a knockout.
Cool. And as far as this this league that you're fighting for now, what can you tell us about them?
Fight to Win. This is going to be my second fight with Fight to Win. My last fight was Worlds Collide. It's an awesome promotion, Fight to Win. They're mostly based here out of Colorado, but they also put on fights in Texas and California, I believe. And they have some really tough up-and-comers and some vets that fight on the card. They just put on the card last weekend, I believe it was, Justin Salas, who's one of my teammates, fought Robert Emerson from the UFC. And they're just doing big things, and they're continuing to get better and better with every show. So, hopefully,
yeah, we had Justin on a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and Did you guys get a chance to see the fight?
No, I didn't. I haven't been watching much of any fights really lately, except the the big UFC fights. I didn't even get a chance to watch all the Strikeforce fights last week. It's just been
some good fights.
Unfortunately, I have to be a lawyer as well as a writer and show host, because I don't know if you know the whole story, but you probably don't. But you probably heard some rumblings about the whole Zion supplements company there and their bankruptcy. Well, I'm the Zion's guy. They sued me for $25 million for breaking that story to begin with, and I'm still fighting in court 4 years later, so I'm kind of busy with that stuff. But I do try to check out whatever I can. And, I've actually heard a lot of rumblings about Justin. He's on the up and up, too, and moving up the chain. And, it sounds like there's some great framework there for MMA out there where you are, too, in Colorado. I actually went to the Air Force Academy my freshman year, so I know a little bit about the area. I only went to Denver once, though. We only had one chance to get off the barracks area, off the campus, to go there. But it's a great place, and as far as training goes, I mean, you can't beat it. If you can get a chance to go up to the mountains there and get into the thinner air, it's worth its weight in gold to do your training there.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I'm definitely sorry to hear about all the stuff you're going through. It sucks, but hopefully you come out on the winning end there.
Yeah, I think it'll be all right. We'll figure things out. But It's just one of those things, you know, the cost of doing business. I remember when I used to work at a newspaper, my editors used to always get mad at me because I would come out with these controversial issues I wanted to write about, and they'd say, well, we'll get sued, you know. And I never understood why they were concerned so much. Now I do. So it kind of steals me for the future, you know, just make sure that, you know, whatever I do, not that I didn't get the full facts, but now, from now on, whatever I do, everything's got to be backed up 6 ways to Sunday. So just like one of those learning curves, growing pains for an independent guy like me. But, you know, I try to approach it from the fighter perspective, too, because the main reason why I got into that story is because, you know, here's a company that's making it so that the fighters can survive. And they were one of the best sponsors to begin with. They were in the middle of the mat, and they were giving these fighters like Chuck Liddell more than $1 million for a sponsorship contract, and that was huge. That really helped grow the sport. And then a bunch of guys get in there and destroyed it all. So I've always been a guy that tried to stand up for the fighters themselves, and, you know, there's been talk about a fighters union and stuff like that, but it's the classic tale, you know, whether it's boxing or MMA. These guys are seen as a bunch of morons who don't know their ass from their elbow, and they're supposed to be just good at punching each other. They're not supposed to be smart in the stereotypical description. So, you know, they get taken advantage of a lot. And I don't know if you've had that experience, but I see it way too much, and I try to be the voice for some of those people that that need it.
Yeah. I mean, we are definitely, as fighters, appreciate it, you know, the help. But it just sucks that, you know, the man comes down on you and that's it, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, you just got to know not to give up if you're right. You know, the one thing that kept me going through it all is everybody used to say, you know, the truth will shine through in the end. And it does. You know, you just got to get to the end. That's the problem. And some of these guys think that they can push you around with their big money and, you know, big power and influence. But if you just keep sticking it out and, you know, people start to notice that you're doing the right thing for the right reasons, then you'll get there. It takes time. But getting back to you, you know, we already talked about pretty much your ultimate goal in the sport, but what do you love most about MMA? What do you keep fighting for, so to speak?
I love to fight. I mean, I love to compete for sure. And like I said, I love training. And it's just something that I do. It's just part of my life. It's a big part of my life. And ultimately, I want to use fighting to reach out to troubled youth, maybe open my own gym, and just reach out and give back to the, you know, like, less fortunate kids and families. I grew up, like I said, I always wanted to compete in martial arts and fight, and my mom couldn't afford it. So I'd like to have a gym where, you know, somebody that wants to train or whatever, they can't afford it. We can work out a deal like, hey, maybe if you get straight A's in school, you can train here for free or something like that. You know, if I had that opportunity when I was a kid, I would have definitely took that up. And ultimately, that's my goal, is to be able to reach out and help some troubled youth and give back to the less fortunate.
That's good. That's a very good idea. And, you know, it's one of those things that boxing and MMA and just combat sports in general, even wrestling, it gets a lot of kids off the streets who want to, you know, throw their aggression around outside of sports. And, you know, it's turned a lot of lives around. I've talked to some guys who are former criminals who found boxing and just made a career out of it. And it's just changed their lives. And they're bringing up their kids and the next generation in that light of, you know, you don't have to turn to the streets. You can do it more constructively. You can use your anger. And I'm actually one of those guys. I used to box myself. And the only reason I got into boxing is because I was getting into too many street fights. So, you know, it helps. It definitely helps.
I was the same
combat
way.
Combat sports. Boxing, martial arts, that's the only way you can beat up somebody and not go to jail. In fact, the worse you beat them up, the more likely the more money you'll get. You get paid to beat people up, basically. And the better you beat people up, the more money you get. That's how I look at it.
You know, I was one of those guys that I was, before I got to high school, I was trying to be a gangster, hanging out with the wrong crowd in California. And I got exposed to a lot of things at a young age. And I was ready to go down that wrong path. And I actually, I started wrestling. And when I started wrestling, I wanted to compete. And so it kept me off the streets. It kept me from going out and hanging out with my friends where everybody else was like, hey, let's go to this party. Let's go drink. Let's go do this and that. I was like, let me wait. I got to run. I got to work out. I got a tournament. And it helped me, and it changed my life. So,
I was kind of a mix of both. I, as a teenager, I got into my share of tussles, and my problem is I wasn't afraid of anybody, you know. I mean, it'd be six guys there, and they all wanted a piece of me. Well, I was going to give all six guys, you know, everything I got. And it was getting stupid, you know. I knew guys in Philadelphia that, you know, I my thing is like, you want a piece of me? Let's go one-on-one. Let's put everything down. No guns, no knives, no chains, no bats, no nothing. Hand on hand, me and you. You got no friends there? I got no friends there. We'll step right into the pit, and who walks out wins. And a lot of guys didn't want to ever do that. You know, they were... I was more like suburban, you know, area, like right outside the city, like by like Cheltenham, PA, right outside of North Philadelphia. And you had a lot of guys that they wanted to be badasses, but when it came down to, you know, proving that you think you were a badass, they didn't want to prove it. Oh, well, okay, here's how I'm tough, because I got 10 guys, you only got two. Or, you know, I got a bat, or I got a hockey stick, or I got something to hit you with. Never wanted to go skin on skin, because they were afraid, you know. And some of the guys that I had a lot of heat with, my freshman year in college, ended up going to jail for, pulverizing this one kid with a baseball bat. It was 6-on-1. They all had bats. Six guys against a defenseless, 5'5", 160-pound kid, and they all had to pulverize him with a bat. Nobody wanted to face this kid 1-on-1. They beat him with a bat, and they killed him. And a lot of media over, especially in Philadelphia, but I knew all the guys that did it. All the guys, I challenged every one of them 1-on-1, and they all backed down from me. But then when I went to college and I started boxing, and I started really getting into it, our coach, one of our fighters was doing an internship at a small, community, kind of like a jail, but also kind of like a rehabilitation center. These young guys, these guys that were more like short stays, and they were guys that were, just trying to make productive. These guys weren't going to be in very long, but, they had a potential that, if they go down the wrong path, they're going to go into a larger maximum security place. And I'm 3 hours away from where I grew up, and the coach brought three fighters in there to talk to these guys, me being one of them, because I was the guy that could have been sitting with them. And as I'm in there helping talk to them, I look, and don't I know one of the guys in there? The guy that I used to run the streets with, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And that's crazy. And he goes, this is the guy that most likely would have been sitting with you guys if he didn't get into boxing and didn't get into sports like that. But then my problem was I had one extra semester in college, and I wasn't allowed to box anymore. My eligibility was up. My 4 years were up. And I was like, now what do I do with myself? I said, I don't know what to do. I could train some of the other guys, but that didn't give me any satisfaction because I was, 21 years old. I still had a lot of, adrenaline going, but the way it was is I couldn't really use the bags because there were other guys that were getting ready for fucking use the bags. I could teach them, I could train them, but I couldn't do anything myself. I went nuts. And next thing you know, oh, where's Tony? He's at the bar again tonight. Oh, he's out raising hell again. And then it took me a while to straighten myself back out.
Yeah, but that's a perfect example. It just shows right there how if you had the opportunity to fight in a gym, in a controlled environment, to train, that your life could have been a lot different.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I tell this to a lot of times when I'm talking to guys on the show, and I say it a lot, whenever I go to any type of gym environment, whether it's a, rough and tough rec center gym in a bad part of the city, that's when I really, really box, and, I'd be up at college, 3 hours from home. But then when I'd be home for, Christmas and summer and all that,
I was going down to a pretty tough area, South Philadelphia, and training a gym that actually put guys in world title fights, some pretty good fighters, some really tough guys, and I had to hang with them, and that's how I earned my stripes. But whenever, whether I'm at like a rec center, or whether I'm at like a little, suburban gym where guys are just trying to work out, just trying to do boxing because they watch a lot of Rocky movies or they watch, films of Mike Tyson or whatever, I always give them all the same message. And the message is the same thing I just told you a minute ago about, getting in trouble, when I was younger and needing an outlet for my aggression. And I told them, I showed them a heavy bag. I said, right now, here's 130 pounds, of a heavy bag. I said, when you're angry and something's gotten you so mad, you're gritting your teeth, you got two choices. You can run the streets and you can cause a lot of hell, or you can come in here and you can work out and you can hit that bag. And I said, when you hit that bag, that bag can take everything you got. And, you don't have to worry about, the bag running in a gang, carrying a knife, carrying a gun, getting a gang to jump you. You don't have to worry about going to jail. You don't have to worry about a lot of things. That bag can take everything you got, and after you're done, you'll be so tired, you won't remember why you're angry. And when you come back tomorrow, the bag will be still there waiting for you. That's the message I give to anybody I train, whether they're 6 years old or 26 years old. And it's the truth, really. I mean, people, they don't know how to release their aggression. And, I mean, nowadays, especially like in a gym environment, you learn respect, you learn honor, you learn discipline, and a lot of people don't have that in their lives, and that's why you see people using baseball bats and not fighting fair or shooting somebody or stabbing somebody. And that's another reason why ultimately that's what I want to do is have my own gym where I can reach out and go out and try to get some troubled youth and bring them in and say, hey, look, man, you can either go down the streets or you can come in here and make something out of yourself. You want to be a fighter, you want to be a tough guy, you might as well get paid to do it and make a career out of it.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, and one of the things that, people point to most when they say, how much combat sports, whichever they choose, whatever sport they choose in the genre, they usually point to that structure, they call it, going to practice or working out at a specific time every day. And the other thing that parents always point to, or, guidance counselors and psychologists, when they see a troubled kid, they always point out, he didn't get enough attention when he was a child, or, something like that. And that's what a coach provides a combat sports athlete. And, the training atmosphere, whether it's, your official coach or somebody that you're training with, it gives you that attention when you go in there. And you're always constantly improving something, and there's a structure. So it is really important to make sure that too many kids don't go off the straight and narrow path there and, become productive members of society. And if they're going to fight, at least they're going to get paid for it eventually. So more power to you. I'd love to help out any way we can, too, with the website. If you really start to get serious about that down the line, we'll try to keep in touch. And, that's something that I really would definitely get into, from the boxing side, too. I'd like to see more of that, so... More power to you.
Heck yeah.
is there anybody out there you want to thank or give a shout out to before we leave you tonight?
For sure. First, of course, the gym I train out of, Gretsch Training Center. Always want to give them some love. Klein Brothers and Michigan Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Hoist Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, of course. Eat Out, Knockout Brands, Clinch Gear, Ricky over at with Glut Sports Management, of course. Eric Kelly, my strength and conditioning coach, and Lee Strabowling, my wrestling coach. And then everybody, of course, who helps me train and helps motivate me, and all my fans who support me through everything.
All right, cool. Well, we'll definitely be looking forward to finding out how you do in this fight. Wish you luck, of course, although you probably won't need it. You've been training hard, I bet. So, any final words you want to give? Anything you want to say about the sport or, you know, your career in general? Anything to Dana White of the UFC, in case he's listening?
The kid is back. I'm ready to get back in the UFC. And this fight with Cameron Dollar, I plan on showing that to the world. I'm back, and I'm ready to be the world champion, UFC champion that I set out to be. And definitely, guys, thanks for having me on the show. And kind of letting the people know, people listening, that combat sports, MMA, boxing, is not all bad. Everybody thinks, you know, they look at it as a violent sport, but really, there's good guys in this sport, and we want to do good things. And we want to help. So,
all right.
Appreciate it, guys.
Awesome. Well, you've been a great guest, and we definitely look forward to watching you, and hope you get back in the UFC. I know they could definitely use some exciting fighters, and I like the fact that you're talking about going right to Jose Aldo. I tell Tony all the time and some of my guests that Jose is the real reason why I've never even thought of going to MMA, because I saw him take out Cub Swanson in 18 seconds that one time.
And Cub's a good fighter, too, man. He's a tough guy.
Yeah. I said to myself after that, I said, anybody that could do that to me in a sport like that when I'm just coming in fresh, no way. I'm not going to risk it. You know, maybe if I started when I was 18, but no way at this age. You know, I'm getting into my 30s here, so it's not happening. But I thought about it for a little.
Maybe you can go down to put some weight and then avoid Jose Aldo.
Well, I wouldn't be facing him anyway. It was just the aspect of, you know, the sport itself could produce something like that. Then I got a lot to worry about, more than I had anticipated until I saw that fight. That was just what's his name there? Joe Rogan said at one point, I forget what he was talking about, but he called it a ballet of violence. MMA. I like watching it, but you'll never get me in a cage.
Just
have announcing. All right, Alvin, great talking to you, and as I say, you've been a great guest, and we look forward to watching you down the line, so have a good night.
Thanks, folks. Thanks for having me.
Bye. All right, so we got technically an hour and a half left. I don't think we'll use it all, but I'm just going to glance here at... the box trick schedule.
Yeah, I feel like give me an hour and a half left. I'm pretty beat, man. I intensified my workout routine again. And I'm back to, my knees are killing me. I'm back to skipping rope again, which feels pretty good. I'm back to working the pads again. And you like this week, I felt pretty good. Well, tonight, I had nothing left. I mean, I reached down as deep as I could, and there was nothing there. My arms are killing me, but, you know, it feels good. You know, you come out of there, and you got your adrenaline pumping up again, the heart's beating. And you'll get a kick out of this, Rich. At work this week, I'm in one of my ornery moods because it's month end, and I always get in a bad mood around month end because everybody got all this extra work to do, and I got to do 98% of it. Well, there's three people that work in the one office area. Me, an older gentleman that I used to work with at my old job, and one young girl. So, young girl, the other one, not young, she's a couple years younger than me, she's, you know, around 30 years old. So the other day, she has to go to the hospital because something happened and her whole jaw swelled up. And then everybody knew I was in a bad mood. They're like, what'd you do, hit her? You know, and I'm like, yeah, just shut up. So she goes to the hospital, her jaw swelled up. Now, the older gentleman's sitting there today, and he's in the desk behind me, he's like, Tony, hurry up. Can you get me a napkin or a tissue? What the hell's wrong with you? I look over, he's got blood streaming out of his nose. I said, oh, my God. I give him a box of tissues. He used up like 10 or 15 of them, and he was just pouring blood. They took him to the hospital, you know, because he couldn't get their blood to staunch. I said, shit, what the hell is going to happen to me now? It comes in threes, you know.
Right. Well, I definitely sympathize. I'm trying to ramp up my own workouts lately. I got the help of my guy with the Zion shop there. If you go to ZionShop.com, they're actually the main sponsors of our radio shows. Why we're here right now. ZionShop.com, but they
they hooked me up with a bunch of supplements. I'm on like X testosterone, X natural growth formula, X nitric oxide. I got it all here. So you know. Maybe I'll have to send some your way one of these days, Tony. But it's kind of funny. I'm powered by Zions and I'm suing Zions. But we'll see. I got a long ways to go to this fight, but I'm working hard on it. But anyway, I don't know. Sounds like you want to cut it out early here. So if you don't mind, I don't mind. I know that. We won't go through all the other main events and other BS going on in the, well, not BS, but combat.
Before we go, one thing I got to mention is anybody ever reads Ring Magazine, the Bible of Golf, they came out with their end of year special. I just got mine yesterday, so I was reading through it, and I wrote some a little mad at you because you didn't tell me about this. Reading about some of the fights the previous year, and they had fights that said, don't get up to get a beer, because their fights had ended so fast. And there's a young Canadian fighter right now who's looking pretty impressive by the name of David Lemieux.
Right.
He's fought on ESPN a couple times. They were showing him on ESPN last week, like a highlight. And it says, David Lemieux KO1 over Hector Camacho Jr. I said, what the hell is all this about? I didn't know about this. And I'm the ring man. I'm supposed to know about this, especially when somebody I can't stand got their ass kicked. So as soon as I read it, I run upstairs and I go on YouTube. And it wasn't a very clear clip, but it was definitely a clip. And he iced him. I mean, he iced him one shot, man. It was awesome. I got to send it, man. He stunned him with a right-hand left hook, and then he got him against the ropes. And he threw a right hand, Rich, that could have knocked over a building. And it just completely crumbled him.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Camacho Jr. was out. I went to bed smiling after seeing that.
Yeah, we know how much you love the Camacho family.
Yeah, you know it, right? Said I haven't missed a show in over 3 years, but you ever book one of them, I'm going to be on. I'll call it sick that night.
Well, anyway, we definitely appreciate everybody tuning in tonight for our very first premium show. We're going to come back next week with a couple boxing guests.
Basically what I think, because I got your email today. I was at work. I can get on AOL when I'm at work, but it just depends on how busy I am. But I can't get on Facebook. I can't. The only sites I can really get on are like AOL, Weather, and Google. So when you say that, I'm like, I have no way of contacting Joey I until I got home, which was around 6 o'clock, and I went right from basically the door upstairs, got changed, and right down to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
My dog's driving me nuts. He's like, we bring him downstairs and we're working out and everything.
Yeah.
He always brings a phone or a couple tennis balls, usually a couple tennis balls downstairs. And he'll you'd be working out and, he'll stand right there when you're trying to skip rope. And I'm like, get out of the way. Then you're working the mix. If I just leave the ball like right in the center of the floor and want you to kick it,
right,
you're back paddling, you're going to trip over this and break your ankle, break your neck. So I always take the ball and I put them in the tennis. The pool table. And then he sits there and he barks. And then today he came and he sat right in the middle of the floor. And I'm like, you got to move. And, I'm looking at him because the last thing I want to do is backpedal over him and break my neck. My dad's missing punches. He's looking at him. I'm like, hey, you got to relax, buddy. Come on. You're killing me.
Well, our dog here has got a nice cone on his head. Just got back from the vet. Got a little stitch from his leg. So I just saw him for the first time try to lick his wound. It was kind of funny. Now he's falling asleep on the floor. It looks like the whatever they gave to knock him out is still kind of lingering. Poor guy. I'll have to send you a picture.
Yeah.
Funny. But anyway, thanks for being as loyal as you always are, and I like the new catchphrase that you started off with tonight. Let to keep
going. Yeah, I'm the number one guy in this business.
Right. So next week we'll definitely have a full-blown show. We'll go through everything. If you want to see what's coming up on the boxing and fighting schedule for MMA, you can go to BoxRec or SureDog.com. It's where we get our stuff from anyway. And as always, ZionShop.com, the eBay store there, that's our big-time sponsor. He takes care of us. He's a former Zion shareholder, and really appreciate his help. So big shout-out to him. And thanks, everybody, for listening. I'm sorry we didn't get started at the okay time, the right time, but we did it.
Question.
What's
before
that?
We get up here, can I ask you a general sports-related question?
Sure.
You know sports, right?
Yeah.
Watch them all?
Do I watch them all?
Do you watch football?
Football. Of course I watch football. You know what?
Okay. Who's going to win the Super Bowl this weekend?
Well, according to John Madden's game there, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win, but... you know, I don't know how accurate that is. I just kind of saw it out of the corner of my eye one day when I was looking. But I actually have to write a preview for this for opposingviews.com. And I'm thinking Green Bay. You know why? Because, you know, it seems to always come down to the quarterback and the defense in a lot of these games. And I think the quarterback is better for Green Bay. I think Aaron Rodgers has it all together. He's a great scrambler. He can run. Ben Roethlisberger can run, but he doesn't run for great distances a lot. He's pretty awkward when it comes to actually running. He can throw, but the Steelers, their big issue is you know, they can stop the run, but they're not very well known for stopping the pass on defense. And the Green Bay defense has shown incredible improvement over the last few games and in the season. And they've only ever had trouble when Aaron Rodgers hasn't been in the game. So, I mean, not the defense, but the Green Bay total team on offense. But the defense is getting better. I like Green Bay.
I don't like either team, but I hate Pittsburgh more. So I'll be rooting for Green Bay. Mainly I'll be rooting for myself in Blackpool. You know, right. I like to win some money. Now, here's another question. A team that I've watched once or twice, we'll call them the Philadelphia Eagles. Have you heard what they've recently done?
No, I haven't really followed the NFL the last couple of weeks. Like I said, I've been so busy with this freaking lawsuit crap. I got this big hearing coming up on the 10th of February, so I actually think I've taken like a week off from opposing views. I haven't even written a single story, never mind NFL or anything.
Well, you know the Eagles fired the defensive coordinator, right?
No, who's that?
Sean McDermott. I actually played against him in high school.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he was a year older than me. He played for LaSalle University. I played for Bishop McDevitt. You know, we played against each other. He was a year older than me, so we only really played one game against each other when I made it to the varsity squad. But yeah, he started with the Eagles back as like a defensive assistant back in you know, the late 90s. Then he became, you know, a linebacker coach or whatever coach, and then when the defensive coordinator a couple of years ago passed away from cancer, he stepped in the defensive coordinator. But he's been struggling here and there, so they decided to give him his pancakes, as I say, and they fire him. So now it's okay, they're going to get a defensive coordinator. And who are they going to interview? And I'm like, okay, you got to get a defensive coordinator. And they're talking about this guy. And then they interviewed a guy from Chicago, and they interviewed a guy from New Orleans. And they're like, okay, maybe we'll talk to this guy, but no, we're not going to interview him. Maybe we'll talk to this guy, but no, he just got signed by his defense coordinator somewhere else. Maybe we'll wait till the Super Bowl's over and interview one of the coordinators from the Packers or the Steelers, even though they run a different style of defense than the Eagles run. And all of a sudden, we've hired a defensive coordinator. Great, who'd you hire? Juan Castillo. He's coached the offensive line for the last 13 years.
What?
Yeah. I said they hired an offensive line coach to be the defensive coordinator. I'm like, no, he did coach defense, you know, back when he was in, like, Texas A&M or wherever it was. I'm like, that was in the 1980s. And what pissed me off is possibly the greatest defensive mind out there wasn't even given an interview. And that is me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, first of all, I watched Buddy Ryan coach defense back in the late 1980s when I was 13 years old. Because I used to watch Reggie White and Jerome Brown and all those guys, you know, do all that
I'm like, well, I've studied enough of Buddy Ryan's defense that I wouldn't know how to coach defense. And plus, all the years of playing Madden football, my defense led the league in sacks, interceptions, and shutouts every stinking year. Dude, it's like I would sit there with my Madden 92 playbook right on the sideline. I would have us rocking and rolling. I'd be calling it the Red Bull Stunt and the Nickel Blitz. Dude, I used to kill them. My one friend's like, yeah, but you can, yeah, it's easy to play Madden on the easiest level. I'm like, dude, I've been playing Madden so long, it didn't even have levels of difficulty. I had it on the old Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I am old.
Well, it should be a good game either way. I think, you know, the Super Bowl anyway, it's going to go it's going to be one of those.
Why is it that you didn't think of hiring me?
I don't know. I guess they didn't need a boxing coach.
People always ask me, why'd you get into boxing? I said, well, I wasn't really good at any of the sports. I said, you know, I played football when I was in high school. My first game, I got in a fight with an opposing player, and I punched him. And I said, you know, I can't skate, so I can't play hockey. I'm short and white, so I can't play basketball. I tried playing soccer when I was 6 years old, but I got in a fight with an opposing player and not feeling the ground to punch them. And I played baseball, but I went to a little league game one time, and one of the kids had said something about me. So I went to the game, waited until it was over, went over to the sideline, dropped him a body shot. So I didn't really have much of a choice.
Yeah, I can remember. I got in a couple fights in sports, but only once in gym. We were playing field hockey. It was an actual other sport that wasn't really combat sports based. The other time was in a wrestling match. And I did almost get in a fight in a, you know, thrown together football game, but that doesn't count. We're talking like, you know, referee, sports, official actions. But no, never really had that trouble. I was always able to separate it out, you know. But that's why I got into boxing, because you really couldn't fight other sports. And I actually, probably my favorite, my only time ever getting in a real drag-out fight, it wasn't even really a fight, it was more like an incident, at the sectionals wrestling tournament. And I'm already wrestling 15 pounds above my actual weight class, and I go against this kid that I had a history with. And he did this move where he chops the arm when ref blows the whistle, and you're on all fours, and he's behind you. Chops the arm, and he follows through and punches me right in the nuts. And so I got up and I grabbed him by the headgear and I kneed him in the face. And the ref took points off of both of us, so that was even. But that was out of more out of frustration and aggravation than anything. And he asked for it pretty much by doing what he did. But tried to keep it separate. You know, it's two different things. You know. Fighting and most of other sports, they don't really encourage fighting except for hockey. Like you said, if you can skate and fight, you'd probably be great at hockey. But anyway, that's enough for tonight. Coming up on 9:30. Again, thanks everybody for listening. And we'll definitely have a full-blown show next week. We'll be more on the ball. We'll start on time. And we'll maximize the use of our new premium platform here. And we'll have it all set to go. And actually, next week, I will be in Vegas at this time, if all goes well. It's because I'm going to actually be there for this next hearing and surprise the shit out of them. Unless they're listening to this show, then the surprise is blown, but I doubt it. I don't think the lawyers I'm going against listen to my talk radio show. But I'm going to appear at the court and see how it goes and meet with some of the shareholders out there, put some faces to some names, and we'll have to find a way to broadcast from out there, which I've done from hotel rooms before, so I think it won't be a problem. We'll figure it out. But until then, until next week, when I'll be live from the fighting capital of the world, we'll sign off. Have a good one.